Good morning. Welcome to St. James. We're so glad to see all of you here with us today at the church, and many of you are joining us via Zoom from all over the country. I know we have people as far away as the far northwest, and I believe we even have somebody from down in the panhandle. I could be wrong, but and I know occasionally we have international visitors, so it's really wonderful to bring our larger community together during this season of Lent. Today is the second Sunday of Lent. We remind you to check our webpage at www.stjameswabash.org for information about what the events are and the comings and goings of our parish. Please be sure to check out our newsletter and sign up for that. And again, just visit our webpage, www.stjameswabash.org. We'll begin today's celebration with God of Creation, Please Rise.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God, communion in the Holy Spirit, be with you. Amen. What a blessing we can gather on this second Sunday of Lent, our journey from ashes to Easter. And we're reminded today that because of Christ, we can do all things. We have this ability to trust that if God is for us, who can be against? So let's turn to the Lord today and place ourselves in an attitude of openness to receive God's gift, particularly today, the gifts of grace and mercy.
Pardon.
And let us pray. Let us pray that this holy season of Lent will be a time of grace, a time of renewal. Let us pray that Jesus, who is the Son of God, will be our elder brother and companion for our journey. And let us pray that that Holy Spirit of God will transfigure us into a closer image of God's grace. God, you have commanded us to listen to your beloved Son. Be pleased, we pray, to nourish us inwardly by your word, that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, and is God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Genesis. God put Abraham to the test. He called to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son Isaac, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a holocaust on a height that I will point out to you." When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Then he reached out and took a knife to slaughter his son. But the Lord's messenger called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he answered. "Do not lay your hand on the boy," said the messenger. "Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." As Abraham looked about, he spied a ram caught in its horns in a thicket. So he went and took the ram and offered it up as a holocaust in place of his son. Again, the Lord's messenger called to Abraham from heaven and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have acted as you did in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies, and in your descendants all the nation of the earth shall find blessing. All this because you obeyed my command." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Call upon the name of us indeed in the sight of the Lord. Is the death of God's faithful one? And I am your servant, I am your chosen.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him? Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who acquits us. Who will condemn? Christ Jesus, it is who died, or rather was raised. Who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed interceded against us. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them higher on the mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes were dazzling white, such as no filter on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses. And they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Rabbi, It is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He hardly knew what to say. They were terrified. Then the cloud came, cast a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Suddenly, looking around, there was no one. They didn't see anyone with Jesus. He was there alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them not to relay what they have seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had been risen from the dead. So they kept this matter to themselves, questioning, what's risen from the dead men? The Gospel of the Lord.
When you call something a mountaintop experience, it's a very positive word. When you're on the mountaintop, you have clear air. You can see far. There's a vista which makes all the little problems of life not seem so dramatic, since you have this big vision of what's going on. Might remember Dr. King talked about being on the mountaintop. I've been to the mountaintop, he said, and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. So mountaintop experiences are wonderful. And you can understand then, since they are wonderful, why Peter would want to hold on to that experience. Lord, let's build three tents. Isn't that a good idea? We can stay up here on the mountaintop. We can be up here where things are clear. We can be above the troubles of this world. But there are mountaintop experiences, and then there are mountaintop experiences. I just suspect that Isaac did not think much of his mountaintop experience, since his father pulled a knife on him when he's on the mountaintop. If you've ever been on a mountaintop when a thunderstorm blows up, you know you do not want to be there. And Dr. King might have looked over into the promised land, but he never got there. The next day after he gave that speech, he was assassinated. So maybe Peter's idea of building a tent on the mountaintop was not such a good idea after all. Maybe it's like they say, you know, mountaintops, nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. All of which comes about because we're reflecting today on a mountaintop experience in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus took, we're told, Peter, James, and John up on the mountaintop by themselves. So there was something important. Even though mountaintops are mixed bags, there was something important that Jesus wanted to convey to these disciples on the mountaintop. And I suspect it was not just that they would have this mountaintop experience, but that they would be able to remember that they had this experience. The transfiguration happened, it seems to me, so that those disciples could remember this moment of glory when they were going through the suffering and death of Jesus, which was immediately in front of them. When you've been to the mountain of glory. It helps you get through the valley of despair. And that's not just true for Peter, James, and John. It's true for us as well. Let me some examples maybe. When I was about to be ordained, after being in the seminary, I think 862 years at that point, my mother gave me some pastoral advice. She said, John, when people come to you to get married, make sure they really love each other. And, oh, yeah, Mom. She said, no. She said, I'm very serious. She said, being married is so hard that when you're able to remember that at least at one point I really love this person, helps you make it. That ability, that mountaintop experience of falling in love, helps you get through the slog of the dailiness of marriage. Another example, parents have told me that the highlight of their life is when they hold their newborn child. This experience of love is like the peak of existence. And that's good to remember when your two-year-old is just saying no, when your eight-year-old won't go to bed, and when your teenager is being a teenager. Maybe an example closer to home, St. James Day. On St. James Day, we have this wonderful opportunity to join in joyful praise, to raise our voices in song, to pray as a community, to gather with people who mean so much to us and that we mean something to welcome old friends and to welcome in new friends, to gather around the table loaded with the specialties of everybody in the potluck. It's a pretty wonderful experience, and we should be able to recall that experience as we go through this valley of social distancing and fear of pandemic and living behind a mask. So having these mountaintop experiences are gifts that enable us to get through the rough time, to keep on keeping on until our change comes. So what about today? Today, of course, we're not on any mountaintop. We're in the valley, right? This valley of pandemic. And how do we get through it? How do we hold on until we can get back up the mountain? Well, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, were given some instruction, some help, for when they went down back in the valley. The heavenly voice told them the marching orders that they needed. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. That's what they're supposed to do to make it in the valley. Listen, to come to know Jesus as the beloved son. Well, they knew him pretty well at this point, right? They've been walking up and down the dusty roads of Galilee for many months at this point. They knew him as somebody who liked to have a dinner party. They saw how compassionate he was with those who were hurting, how he connected with those who were marginalized, the sick and the sinner. They sat at his feet to hear his instruction. But that heavenly voice says it's not enough to know him as a nice guy. You have to know him as the beloved Son of God. And the reason that is essential is because it shows us that this gap that we imagine that exists between heaven and earth has been closed in Jesus. That as a matter of fact, since we have in this person that you knew as a human being, since we have the very presence of God, we have been given the gift of understanding that every human being is capable of bearing divinity. But Jesus was by nature the Son of God. We are by adoption the children of God. And because of that, we are precious in God's eyes and given life to the full. So that's the first thing that's going to help us in the valley, to remember who Jesus is. And the second thing is to listen to him. If we listen to Jesus, we'll make it through the valley of darkness into those green pastures. Listen to Jesus when he says, stop worrying. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Look at the birds of the sky. He can take care of you. Listen to Jesus when he says, stop judging. Don't worry more about the 2x4 in your own eye instead of the speck that's in the other guy's eye. Jesus says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Now, we've heard these things, but if we really listen to them, then we're going to discover that there's a way up even the rough side of the mountain so that we can reach that mountaintop. So, church, as we are in these days of Lent, let's come to meet Jesus as the Son of God, and let's listen to him, and pretty soon we'll be on that cable car, taking us straight to the top. Amen. So we join together with the church throughout the world in confessing our faith.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We're blessed to be the people of God, to know that we're invited up into the mountain of glory. So with confidence, then, we present our prayers and petitions.
For the church, that God's generosity to Abraham and his descendants might motivate us to share our blessings with those in need, we pray to the Lord. That all the nations on earth may find blessings in their people, as God promised Abraham, and value even the least of them as the handiwork of God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
that the world may be transfigured by the presence of God, becoming a world of perfect justice, mercy, and peace, we pray to the Lord. For all who are struggling during difficult winter weather, especially those without homes and those who cannot afford to heat their homes adequately, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We give thanks that Mercy Hospital has been saved from closure through the work of community organizations, community members, and many prayers. That the hospital may serve our community faithfully under new leadership, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have gone before us in faith, especially Peggy Meyer, for whom this Mass is offered, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the prayers that we hold quietly in our hearts, for those named in our book of prayers, and for all the needs of our parish and community, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Hear all these prayers, Heavenly Father. We make them in the holy name of Jesus, our Lord, who lives and reigns forever.
Amen. Pray that our sacrifice will be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of God's name, for our good and the good of all the Holy Church.
May the sacrifice, O Lord, we pray, cleanse us of our faults and sanctify your faithful in body and mind for the celebration of the Paschal festivities, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
And let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just. It is our duty and salvation always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For after he had told his disciples of his coming death, on the holy mountain he manifested to them his glory, to show, even by the testimony of the law and the prophets, that the passion leads to the glory of the resurrection. So with all the powers of heaven, we worship you constantly on earth, and before your majesty, without end,
we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. You never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you. By that same Holy Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, and let them become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. From the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said a blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when the supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to a second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy, this living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we, who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, her husband Saint Joseph, the blessed Apostle Saint James, and all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May the sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, your servant Pope Francis, Cardinal Blaise, the order of bishops, all clergy and religious, and the entire people you have gained for your own. And listen graciously to the coming before you today. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow upon the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil, and graciously grant peace in our day, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin, safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope, the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus, you said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sin, but on the faith of your church. Graciously grant us peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of Jesus be with you always.
Let us offer each other a wave of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. May the body and blood of Christ keep us safe for eternal life. The prayer for spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Come spiritually into my heart. I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
be easy. You did not say that it would be. But when it gets dark and I can't find my way, you told me to put your trust in me. And that's why I got to say, Lord,
help me to hold on. Lord, help me to hold on.
Help me to hold on.
Lord,
help
me to hold on until
that change comes soon. That's all I have to say. Let us pray. As we receive these glorious mysteries, we make thanksgiving to you, O Lord, for allowing us, while still on earth, to be partakers even now of the things of heaven, through Christ our Lord. Just a reminder, this Friday is the first Friday of the month, and we have Eucharistic devotion every first Friday from 7 to 9. If you're interested in coming, just spending a quiet hour or two or an hour and 5 minutes with the Lord, please come sign up on our website, and you're welcome on Friday. I'm going to do a little Bible class for Lent starting not Tuesday, but a week from Tuesday, the 9th, on the crucifixion. Why is the cross at the heart of our faith? What is going on that is so important in the Gospels and in the confession of faith since then? So, reflection on the cross. And you can sign up for that on our website. All virtual, of course. So let's bow our heads and pray God's blessing. Bless your faithful, Lord, we pray, with a blessing that endures forever. Keep us faithful to the gospel of your only begotten Son, so that we may always desire and at last attain that glory whose beauty you showed in his own body to the amazement of his apostles, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. God's blessing upon us all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.